God, what they were caught up with were petty rules that kept them back from God. They were missing out on the goodness and the glory and the greatness of our God. And that's why as Jesus walks through the cornfields, beautiful, this is a beautiful picture here in Mark chapter 2. Jesus walking through the cornfields in the hot Middle East, it's harvest time. The sun is shining, it's warm. And the fields are just being blown by the lovely warm breeze. And the disciples, as they're walking along, pick some ears of corn, they rub them in their hands, and they start to eat the ears of corn. And the Pharisees are watching on. And this is, we've got three headings coming up this morning. First of all, we find here the right use of the Sabbath. And as the Pharisees are watching on, as the disciples eat some of these ears of corn, the Pharisees watching on, they're going something like, squinting their eyes, Now I'll come back to that. Because Jesus here, as he walks across these cornfields, leading his disciples, Jesus is showing us what the Sabbath day is meant to look like. A day of recreation or recreation. It was a day for renewal, a day for stopping work, and a day for thinking about God and worshiping God and hearing the word of God. And so Jesus had no compulsions about going for a walk on the Sabbath day, some light exercise. So we're talking here in our first point about the right use of the Sabbath day. Notice also he does good on this day. Because in chapter 3, there's a man who has a shriveled hand. It's in the synagogue. And this man has a shriveled hand, and Jesus asks the question, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And what we learn here is that the man with the shriveled hand, Jesus asks him to stand up in front of everyone, and he says, stretch out your hand, and he heals his hand. Healing is a good use of the Sabbath day. Feeding animals is a good use of the Sabbath day. Works of necessity, as we call them. We still need doctors and nurses on the Sabbath day. We still need firemen and policemen. We still need these works of necessity. And Jesus heals on the Sabbath day. So there's a positive. So often we get tied up in negative rules. Jesus positively used the Sabbath day for the work of healing. And he also, we learn here, went into the synagogue in verse 1. Luke chapter 4 says, Jesus went to the synagogue where he had been brought up in Nazareth on the Sabbath day, and that was his custom. Going to a place of worship was the weekly practice of Jesus Christ, his habit. And if that was so for him, how much more so should it be for us, singing, praying, listening to God's word read and preached. Jesus never got up on a Sabbath morning and said to himself, I wonder will I go to church today? He always went, as was his custom, his weekly practice, and none of us should feel we know better than Christ. So these are some of the right uses of the Sabbath day, and it is important that we remember the fourth commandment, and that we, as we're taught here, and as we're going to see in a moment or two, it's not set aside. It's changed, but it's not set aside. Secondly, the abuses of the Sabbath. And these come out into the open here as the religiously minded people criticize Christ before eventually they set themselves against him. Now notice why they criticized him in verse 24. What your disciples are doing is unlawful on the Sabbath. Really? Plucking corn, rubbing it in your hands and eating it? Really? Why was that a problem? Well, as far as these Pharisees and religious teachers was concerned, if you pluck corn and rub it in your hands, that's harvesting. You're working. You're acting like a farmer. You don't need to do it today. Leave it to tomorrow. And the law says on it, the Sabbath day says, on this day you shall do no work. So when Jesus allowed his disciples to pluck and eat, he was a lawbreaker, right? And you can imagine the Pharisees, as I say, going, tut, 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 squinting through their eyes. You know what it's like, that kind of religious hypocrisy that stinks. You've been a victim of it, and I've been a victim of it. The kind of scowling mindset of someone who's watching on and thinks, you're just a sinner, a lawbreaker. It's kind of horrible, and this passage is here for a reason. The other abuse they accuse him of was healing on the Sabbath, because couldn't Jesus have come back the next day? Why did he have to do it today? The man wasn't critically ill. He had a shriveled hand. He maybe had a shriveled hand his whole life. So why do it today on the Sabbath? But Jesus here was making a point. He was deliberately doing it on the Sabbath. And these Pharisees, when Jesus heals the man with a shriveled hand, they withdraw. We're told in verse 6, and they went out and they began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Now, I find this fascinating. That here are people who are up to here in the Old Testament, up to here in the Ten Commandments, up to here with religious rules, not just in the Bible, but others they had written themselves. They're full of it. But when Jesus challenges them, they hatch a plot for how they might kill him, even though the commandment says, you shall not kill. And what we have here is a reminder of the hypocrisy, the religious mindset, how so often, and Jesus so often challenged the religious mindset. He did it often and often and often in his time. Challenging people who set up rules that they didn't keep themselves, but they expected everybody else to keep. And these Jews hated him because they knew that he came with a different way of going. And when you challenge religious Pharisees and religious hypocrites who live life with a kind of super spirituality about them, you're in trouble. Maybe someone listening to me this morning and, you know, these people, they claim to be super religious, hyper religious, but they had no time for Christ. Not funny. Really religious people, loved their Bibles, learned them off by heart, said their prayers, went through the traditions and rituals, but they had no time for Jesus Christ. Like the time he forgave the sins of the sinful woman who had lived a sinful life in her town, the Pharisees watching on just didn't get it. And Jesus said, whoever has been forgiven little loves little. In other words, they didn't see themselves as people who needed to be forgiven and needed to be saved. That was for everybody else, not for them. They were upstanding, righteous, religious people. And this freedom, too, that Christ brings, he just doesn't bring forgiveness. And this is what we're learning here, that Christ brings forgiveness. He also brings freedom as he allows this man with a shriveled hand to be healed on the Sabbath to give the man his freedom back because he couldn't use his hand. And it's as if Christ, the compassion of Christ goes out to this man. He didn't want him to live one more day without being able to use his hand properly. So he heals it. But the religious people don't get it because they don't like freedom. They don't like forgiveness. They want rules. I mean, look at the Taliban in Afghanistan. It's rules, 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 especially for women. And that's why when Christ challenged them in verse 4, he said to them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? They remained silent. They had nothing to say. How they hated him for getting the better of them and showing them up. And never forget, let me just remind you, I've said this already, never forget, no one, no religious teacher ever has had harsher words for hypocrites than Jesus Christ. Matthew 23, for example, is a whole chapter against religious hypocrisy. For religious hypocrisy is horrible, it's cruel, it's proud, it's controlling, it dishonors God, and God wants nothing to do with it. Verse 5, he looked around at them in anger and was deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. The abuses of the Sabbath. But Christ came to bring freedom. Not to do away with the law. I'm coming to that in a moment. Because he came to fulfill the law. But he brought a freedom and a forgiveness that the religious mindsets just don't get. So we've covered the right use of the Sabbath, the abuse of the Sabbath. Finally, the Lord of the Sabbath. A title Jesus gave to himself there in chapter 2, verse 28. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Notice he didn't say the Son of Man has done away with the Sabbath. Now we don't worship on the day the Jews worshipped on because we have moved the Sabbath day on a day because on this day, what we call Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. This is the day in which we worship. This is the day in which we meet. We're not Jews by another name. We are Christians, followers of Christ, who himself was a Jew. And the principle of one rest day in seven was a creation ordinance. It actually was there long before there were Jews or there was an Old Testament. God rested himself on the seventh day from all his work at the end of creation week. So he blessed the day and made it holy. And that's why when nowadays we think we can just work and work and work and work and work and work and work like machines and never take a day off, we get stressed. And relationships fracture and we lose perspective and God is dishonored. God knows what's best for us. That's why 6 days you shall labor and one day is a day of rest. So for Jesus to call himself Lord of the Sabbath, he was calling himself Lord of God's day. We sometimes hear people say, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, I don't know. But when he said he was Lord of the Sabbath, if that's not a claim to be God, that's blasphemy. Because the Sabbath was given by God. And here's Jesus claiming to be the Lord of the Sabbath. So he's Lord of God's day, a day kept for God. How careful we ought to be with it. Someone has said, and this is a comment on modern society, and we often complain, don't we, about some of the laws that are coming out of Parliament that are clearly unbiblical laws. Someone has said that if we turn our backs upon God's day, we turn our backs upon God. And that's a large part of the explanation for why our society has gone the way it has gone. No Sabbath, no God. No God, no Sabbath. And when we forget the Lord's day, it's a sign we have forgotten Lord. We have forgotten God. But here is the Lord come into a world of brokenness and mess and sin and trampling all over his laws and has come to save his people from their sins. And Jesus goes to the Old Testament and the story of King David feeding his men with the bread that wasn't meant to be eaten by soldiers. It was meant to be eaten only by priests. King David used it to feed the soldiers because the soldiers were hungry and they were about the Lord's business and they needed fed. And Jesus used that to say to these Pharisees, it's okay for me to feed my disciples with the corn that they've plucked from the field. And it's okay for me to heal the man with a shriveled hand because I can't bear one more day this man would not be able to use his hand. Here's the freedom of Christ. Here's the salvation of Christ. Here's the forgiveness of Christ. He doesn't come with rules and regulations and some code of practice that you and I have to hunker down under and observe and somehow earn our way to God. That's the human mindset, that we have to keep rules. And the more rules we keep and the less we break, we're all right. If we break more than we keep, we're in trouble. But if we keep more than we break, we're okay. That's the human mindset. It's a kind of earn your own salvation mindset. But the gift of God is Christ our Lord. God just breaks through that. and says to us, if you think earning your salvation is how you're going to get salvation and be saved, you have no chance. But my Son has come into the world. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free, so no longer subject yourself to a yoke of slavery. Let me finish. Sinclair Ferguson is a Scottish theologian. He has a nice illustration. He says, the Pharisees were like the committee of a golf club, which has beautiful fairways on which to play golf. But in order to preserve the fairways from being cut up with divots, the committee insist that golfers only play their shots from the rough. That'd be a strange golf club, wouldn't it? You only play your shots from the rough. But he says, golf courses like Sabbaths are meant to be enjoyed, not preserved like living museums. The Pharisees had turned the day into a burden, not into a blessing. And that's what Mark's gospel is about here. Mark's gospel is not giving us rules to keep. It's not giving us traditions that we have to follow. Mark is presenting us here with the Lord, Jesus Christ, who we talked about with the children, who walked on the water, who brought freedom and forgiveness and life. He's the Lord of illness, we've seen that, the Lord of the weather, the Lord of demons, the Lord of people, the Lord now of the Sabbath. And he's navigating through the icebergs of religious hypocrisy and religious self-righteousness to steer us to a blessing with God that is satisfying and liberating and restful and true and cleansing and whole and a walk with God that we can't find outside of him. And Mark's gospel is written to persuade you and me that Jesus is the Son of God, Lord of time, Lord of eternity. And when he calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath, that's what he is. He's not shouting at you, keep off the grass. He's shouting at you, come follow me. Come follow me for forgiveness. Come follow me for freedom. Come follow me for joy. Come follow me for life in all its fullness. Come follow me. Live a life that honors God in keeping with the commandments of God. A holy life. But come follow me. I wonder, have you come to follow him? Have you made that decision? Committing your life to Christ and following him. If not, do so. And if you have made that decision, I hope you're not bogged down in self-righteousness and religious hypocrisy. I hope your life has that freedom of the Spirit, that joy of the Spirit that is our strength. And that is such a winsome, attractive advertisement for the Christian faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this lesson coming, these lessons coming out from this portion of Scripture, how the Sabbath was abused, but also used in a proper sense, and how it calls us to live this life of rest, resting in you and not being caught up in rules and regulations. Father, we thank you that you are the Lord, and your Son came to be your human face amongst us. And in him there is rest, there's peace, and we thank you for that. Lord, continue with us, we pray now, as we finish our service and as we go from here. Help us to keep thinking about what we have heard today and not, Lord, to be caught up in rule-keeping and petty self-righteousness, but to be full of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's finish by singing, Lord of creation, to you.